You've tuned into His Name Ministries Podcast.
Let me just get started. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this week. Thank you. It's a week of blessing. It's a week of favor. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your love for us. How you love us so much, Lord. In your presence, God, is fullness of joy. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your joy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for a fresh anointing for each and every one of us. As we go about this week, watch over us. Protect us. You are our shepherd. We shall not want. With your rod and with your staff, you comfort us. You prepare a place for us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love, Lord. We give you, God, all the glory, all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. So thank you for tuning in, hopping on. Like I said, apologize about the late start, technical difficulties. Our streaming software and Facebook wasn't cooperating, so it wasn't connecting to go online, so I just grabbed my phone and decided to do it this way. Blessed Monday from France. Good morning. Thank you for letting us know where you're watching from, who's tuning in. Destiny and I just got back. We've been on the road, and we will leave on Wednesday to start to travel. We're gonna go to see my family. Gonna do some ministering with my family, TV, on the book Courage that comes out May 24th. So keep us in prayer as we leave on Wednesday. Hallelujah. But like I said, Destiny and I just got back. We were in Maryland. We were in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But man, we saw God move in such a way. The presence of the Lord poured out. People got touched from God. Many miracles, many healings. I mean, people, there is so many testimonies I could tell you. One man was there. He was with his wife. He didn't like going to church, but he was there. I started praying for him, the gifts of the Spirit. He got so touched by God. He said, I'm going to start going back to church. Got his life rededicated back to the Lord. So many testimonies like that. We serve a good God. We serve a God who meets our needs, who answers the cries of your heart. I'm so thankful that we serve a God who loves us, who is for us, and not against us. Hallelujah. So we saw amazing, amazing things what God is doing. I'm seeing such an increase in our ministry, how God's using us, and even results-wise, and it's very exciting, very exciting. Hallelujah. I won't talk too long, but I want to share this kind of on my heart, and it's in Ephesians chapter 4. So this is dedicating the week. You know, this is every, you know, week we get together, we have this time. Blessings. Blessings, Karen. We have this time together and we dedicate our week to the Lord. And it really does make a difference. And I normally don't, when I'm preparing for this, I don't try to, you know, preach something that I've already preached last week, or even though that's what the Lord tells me to do, I'll do it. But I'm always thinking about, okay, this is a new week. This is a new start. What is it, Lord? What do you want us to do? Yes, we dedicate our week to you, Lord, but what's a word? What's something that I can look into and study, and people watching, we can read and study for this week? And he always gives me something. Sometimes it's late at night. I'll be praying and I'm like, okay, what's this week look like? What do we need to know, Lord? What's something the Holy Spirit you're telling us for this week? And he'll always give it to us or show me. But this is what was on my heart. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. I don't really read this too much, but it says this. We'll look at verse 26. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, it says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." What? You're not called to be angry and to sin. And then, you know, we all know this passage of scripture, and go to bed mad. You're supposed to, your husband and wife, if you have a disagreement before you go to bed, settle it. Why? Because at night you don't want nothing to happen. You don't want to give place to the devil. Then it says this, verse 27, "Neither give place to the devil." So don't give place to the devil. So that's what's been on my heart. Neither give place to the devil. You and I, we have to make sure we don't give any place to the enemy. You know, it doesn't just happen. You can't just, you know, act like everyone else, do what everyone else is doing, watching what everyone else is watching, you know, acting like everyone else and nothing happens. You have to be on alert. You have to be on assignment. And this week, my whole life, every day, I make this choice. I make this decision. I will not give place to the devil. No place to the devil. Oh, Brandon, you know, I'm the righteousness of God. And I reign in life by, you know, Jesus Christ. Not my, it's his righteousness. Yes. But here in Ephesians, Holy Spirit speaking through Paul, he says this, do not give place to the devil. Yes, we're the righteousness of God, but there also is in our heart and our lives, you can give place to the devil. It's not just because, you know, what Jesus did, now we can live and do whatever we want. No, we have to be on assignment. We have to be watchful that we do not give any place to the enemy. Blessings from Washington. Appreciate you so much, faithful partner. That we don't give place to the enemy. I make it my decision every day. I will not give place to the enemy. What if you do something that's, you know, not right, or you know it's wrong, and you do it anyway? What do? Thank God you repent and you ask the Lord to forgive you. And he what? His blood washes you and cleanses you. But we have to make sure that we do not give place to the enemy. And this in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 30 says this. So Jesus is saying this, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you." He's talking to his disciples. So he says, "I won't talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh." Who's that? That's the devil. And he what? Has nothing in me. I like this scripture too. He says this, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do." I just wanted to add that in there. He said, "I just want the world to know that I love the Father. And whatever he tells me to do, I do it." So how do you get to a place where you don't give place to the enemy? You do what God tells you to do. You spend time in his word. You spend time in prayer. You spend time in worship, fellowship. And you do what he tells you to do. If you do that, you will not give place to the devil. Jesus said this here in verse 30, "I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me." Jesus didn't say, you know, here he comes and he has a little bit of part of me, you know, I'm 50-50. He said, "Here he comes, the devil, the enemy, and he has nothing in me." That's my prayer for you, that you can stand in a place free, set free by what Jesus has done for you, and you live this life of freedom, where the Holy Spirit living inside of you, unlimited, nothing hindering him, nothing stopping him. And you can say with confidence and boldness, the enemy, the devil, has nothing in me. I think one of the saddest things is when people are, you know, living that like Christian life, and they love the Lord, but they're stuck in bondage. They're stuck in things that are, and they're doing things that are not of God. And the enemy has a place in their life. I've always been, you know, told my whole life from my family, don't give place to the devil, Brandon. Don't give any place to the enemy. Why? Because it won't just stay as little. It'll get bigger. It will grow bigger. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to have a place in your life. Make a decision. I will not give place to the enemy. I will not have any of the devil or any of the enemy involved in my life. You can use this scripture. He has nothing in me. You can write that on your script, on your refrigerator. The enemy has nothing in me. There's so many people that are bound up, that are literally chained. When I go speak at, in the spirit, when I go speak at churches, I see people all the time. They're bound up. They're not completely free. But you know that Jesus has set the captives free. You and I are called to live in complete freedom. You know, fear is of the enemy. Depression's of the enemy. Unbelief. We have to make a decision. I will not give place to the enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So here's Peter saying this. Be sober. What? Be alert. Be on guard. Be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, we have an adversary. He is the enemy. Thank God we have authority. Yes. Thank God we have victory. But he goes around as a roaring lion. Lion, seeking whom he may devour. Or in other words, you could say, seeking whom he can get a place in their life, how he can get involved, how he can, he's looking for a window of opportunity to go and affect someone's life. What? He's a roaring lion and he wants to devour you. That's why you have to make this decision. You have to make this choice. I give no place to the enemy. I give no place to the enemy. He wants to steal from you, kill, and destroy. We have to walk in this place of freedom, walk in this place where the Lord is using us, where he's our number one. We have our dedicating the week. We spend time with the Lord. We use our authority that's been given to us, and we give no place to the enemy. Luke chapter 22. I'm using a lot of scriptures, but because it's just the word of God supports this. What I'm telling you, Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 34. It says this, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. So here's Jesus talking to his disciple. He goes, Simon, Simon, Peter, Peter, Satan has desired to have you. You think Jesus is just saying that? You think he's just using words just to talk, just to communicate? No, he knows it's the truth. And he said this, Simon, Simon, I want to help you. And I know Satan has desire to have you. It's the same today. Satan, the enemy, he has desire to have you. He desires to have a hold in your life. He desires to grab a hold of your life. Why? Because you're a Christian. You're a son and daughter of God. He knows how powerful you are. He knows the plan and the call of God on your life. And he wants to desire you. He wants to hijack the plan of God on your life. Behold, Satan has desire to have you, that he may what? Sift you as wheat. What is that sifting of wheat? That's when the wheat is separated from the grain. They separate the wheat and the grain. So that's what it is. Satan, Jesus is saying this. Satan has desire to completely separate you. What does Satan want to separate you from? He wants to separate you from Jesus. He wants you to get in a place where you're not spending time with the Lord, where you're not hearing his voice, where you're not reading the word of God. He has desire. Jesus is saying, Peter, Simon, Satan has desire to separate you from me. But thank God that we can give no place to the enemy. But Jesus said this, but I pray for you that your faith fail not. That your faith fail not. Satan has desire to separate you and I from the Lord. If he can do that, he's won. He can separate you from God, and you start carrying offense. You start thinking all the Christians are the same. You're mad. You're mean. Oh, they all want my money. And you walk with the walk in this place where you're offended and you don't care anymore. He's done his job. He's slowly separating you from the Lord. When I minister and preach, I always say this. I made a decision a long time ago. Here's my decision I made, and it's concrete inside my spirit. I want it to be concrete inside your spirit today, this morning. Here it is. I will not allow anyone to affect my relationship with the Lord. I want to repeat that again. I will not allow anyone to affect my relationship with the Lord. Your relationship, your fellowship with the Lord has to be your number one thing that you guard in your life. Your fellowship with the Lord, your relationship with the Lord is the number one thing that you protect. Why? Because that is your life. That is what sustains you. The enemy goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The way he's going to devour you is going to separate, is separating you from the Lord. You hear ministers all the time, you know, back in the, even now, blessings from Miami, even now, but even back in the times, old times, you know, ministers of fire and glory and anointing. And they're preaching all around the world. And they're being used by God. But what? They just start preaching messages all the time. They don't guard their fellowship. They don't guard their relationship with the Lord. And slowly but surely, the enemy had sifted them as wheat, separated them from the Lord, where they don't have that time with the Lord. And then their flesh gets involved. And then temptations are placed in front of them, and before where they had the strength and they could rely on the Holy Spirit to help them to fight that temptation, there's nothing there. And they give in to that temptation and their ministry goes down. What? The enemy is an expert at stealing, killing, and destroying. And the way he starts is by affecting your relationship with the Lord. That's what Jesus said. He desires to sift you as wheat. So I made that decision. I will not allow anyone to affect my relationship with God. No people, no situation. Yeah, I've been hurt by people, things I didn't understand, crazy stuff. But I won't focus on that. Why? Because I do not want nothing to affect my relationship with the Lord. Things I might not understand. their pastor, they're this, why do they do this? Why do they act like this? I bless them, I love them, I love my neighbor as myself. I love them, I carry no offense, but I guard, my number one thing I guard is my relationship with the Lord. The last thing you want to do is start getting mad at God because how people are upset because you feel like you should have had a breakthrough and you should have had this, and then you're mad at God and you neglect spending time in His Word. That's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants to separate you from the Lord. This has to be your number one. Your relationship with Him has to be guarded and protected. Adam and Eve are in the garden. All their needs were met. Ultimate provision. And God says, you can have everything, just don't eat of this tree. And what do? Eve goes to the tree. We know the story. The enemy goes, oh, why? You can eat this. If you eat this, you'll be like God. They already were. What? In the garden, He desired to separate man and God. They walked in a place of fellowship. They walked in a place together at night, walking in the cool of the garden. The Lord, man and woman and God. We walked in this place of fellowship, and the enemy from day one desired to separate us. And he succeeded. He separated God and man. But thank God Jesus came back and restored what the first Adam lost. Now we're in a place of fellowship. Now we're in a place of relationship. But he desires to separate us. And I want to encourage you, do not give place to the devil. Be like Jesus. Yeah, the enemy's going around. He's doing whatever, but he has no place in me. I'm a child of the Most High God. I walk by faith. I have my authority. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And we'll end on this scripture. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Why? Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The one that lives inside of us, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the one that is in us is greater than anything in the world. We have the victory living on the inside of us. Thank God for men and women of God who God uses, and they can pray for you. That's great. But you have the victory living on the inside of you. You have that victory. And it says this, I want to read it again. You've overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than anything of this world. Hallelujah. Give no place to the devil. No place to the devil. Just close your eyes real quick. Lord, we love you. We treasure you. We give no place to the enemy. Thank you, Jesus. We have the victory living on the inside of us. We don't operate for victory. We operate from victory. Thank you for your presence. I thank you, Lord, that we make this decision right now, that we will not allow anything to affect our relationship with you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we give no place to the enemy. We give no place to the enemy. We don't give in to fear. We don't give in to uncertainty. We don't give in to what the news is saying. We don't give in to what even other people are telling us. We will not allow any doors of the enemy to be opened in our life. I command any doors that are opened in anyone's life right now to the enemy to be shut in the name of Jesus. We give you, God, all the glory, all the praise. And we know that the greater one lives on the inside of us. Jesus lives on the inside of you and I. Hallelujah. He is our shepherd. With his rod and his staff, he comforts us and he protects us. What does he protect you and I from? The enemy, tricks, anything the enemy may try to do to separate you from the Lord. What the enemy would love to do is get you to a place where the Lord's not your shepherd, you're away from God, and you have no protection, and he just goes after you, and he wants to destroy you. But thank God, we will not give any doors open to the enemy. There's freedom in that. Shut those doors. That's right, Marty. No doors open. You know, I'll end with this. When I've been preaching recently, a lot of people getting set free, deliverances from evil spirits. So, you know, we know how they all come out, you know, by the name of Jesus, us using the authority. But what if I, you know, this man or woman wanting to get set free and prayed for, what if I was dealing with what they were dealing with? What if I was involved in what they were getting involved with? What if I wasn't free and trying to pray for them, set them free? It wouldn't happen. You gotta, to set people free, you have to walk in freedom. My grandmother told me that. She's like, Brandon, if you were dealing with stuff, you know, if you were walking in sin and doing the same thing they were doing, there was no way that you could, God could use you to set them free. And I believe that's why they even cried out, you know, even as I'm preaching, because they wanted to get set free. And of course, the enemy that it knew it couldn't stay, so it started making a scene. But thank God people got set free, got delivered. But what? To set people free, you have to walk in freedom. You know, and how do you get freedom? Knowing that if God be for you, who can be against you? Knowing that the same spirit, the greater one, lives on the inside of you. Spend time in his word. Spend time in worship. Spend time praying in the spirit, and shut every door to the enemy. Hallelujah. What's a practical way to step into this? You could write those scriptures down. Give no place to the devil. Let's say if you're battling something you know is not right. What do you do? Say, Lord, thank you, I'm free. Let's say every single day you have a bad habit, you're doing something that's totally ungodly. Like I said, make this your priority. Also be watchful of what you see with your eyes. These are eye gates, ear gates. So I would start looking into that. I would start watching, only like listening to the word, watching the word. I would, you know, something's getting in there. So I would start doing that. A full submersion into the word, submerging yourself in the word of God. And then, you know, let's say if you're doing something that's not right, ungodly, and you love the Lord, yes, but this habit, what do you do after? Let's say you take part of it just after, you know, after you do that, say, Lord, I thank you, I'm free. Every single day, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. But the number one thing is your eyes, what you're watching with your eyes, and what you're listening to with your ears. Thank God he's a God of mercy, he's a God of compassion, slow to anger. But we don't want to give place to the enemy. Why? Because the enemy wants to use something small in your life and turn it into something huge. He wants to destroy you. He doesn't play cute. You know, I'll end with this, but there's people that you can watch TV shows where people are, you know, in prison for the rest of their life. And it all started up. It started by, you know, them when they were little going to a gas station and seeing a picture on a magazine, and it did something to them. What the enemy desires to separate you and I from the Lord, and we give no place to the enemy. Our number one thing that we have to guard is our relationship, our fellowship with the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for this time. Thank you, Father God, that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that we have authority, that we have victory. We take our place of authority. We take our place in victory, seated in heavenly places, seated in Christ Jesus. When God raised up Jesus, he raised you and I up. When God sat down Jesus, he sat down you and I. This is a place of authority. This is a place of victory. This is a place of more than enough. You and I are seated in heavenly places, seated in Christ Jesus. And I want to remind the devil this morning, if you're watching on the replay, I want to remind the devil, we have authority because of what Jesus has done for us. And we take our authority and we use it against the enemy. And I use it against you, Satan, every low-level demon in hell. You have no place towards me, my wife, Destiny, my daughter, Saint. What God has ordained us for this hour, His name ministries, I take authority over you. Nothing will you do will hinder us. I come against you in the name of Jesus. I call forth finances to flow. I call forth opportunities to come forth in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Over your life, I speak blessings, favor, breakthrough after breakthrough, victory after victory. You are free. The greater one lives on the inside of you. Amen. Well, thank you so much for watching Dedicating the Week. If you are blessed, you can comment your favorite emoji. Like I said, apologize for the late start. Technical difficulties. Our streaming software and Facebook were not cooperating this morning. So after a few times, I just said, you know what? Let's just use the phone. So if you're blessed, you can do your favorite emoji. Bless you, Steve. Thank you. You're a blessing. Amen. I take it. It belongs to me. Thank you, Deb. I appreciate it. Jesus, amen. We give no place to the enemy. What does Mark 11 say? Have faith. And it says, forgive those. If you don't forgive those, if you carry offense, your prayers won't be answered. Offense is a place to the enemy. Thank you so much, Kevin. I appreciate that. Thank you so much from France. Love you. Appreciate you. No place to the enemy, yeah. Amen. Well, thank you guys so much for watching, being a part of Dedicating the Week. Hit that like button, that share button, and keep us in prayer as we leave on Wednesday. We'll start traveling. We're going to go to Branson for a little bit, doing some ministry there, being with family. So keep us in prayer. I'll be doing the Dedicating the Weeks from my phone, so maybe I can show you some cool stuff too. We'll see. Well, we love you. We appreciate you. If you're watching on the replay, let us know where you're watching from, and we will see you later on. God bless.
Thank you for checking out our podcast. For more information on His Name Ministries, check out our website at hisnameministries.com or check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Have a blessed day.